If you've ever served in church leadership, then you know how tough marriage ministry can be. There's never enough time to help every couple. There's not enough resources to go around, and we often don't feel like marriage experts. That's why we want to tell you about Woo Marriage, a brand new tool from Lifeway that provides Christ-centered marriage coaching for every couple in your church. Backed by research and designed with your church in mind, Woo Marriage provides a plan for your marriage ministry with video courses for all seasons of marriage. There are courses for communication, managing finances, handling conflict, and there's even help for church leaders. The best part? It's easy. With one simple click, you can assign courses and start coaching. Whether you need to prepare couples for marriage, strengthen marriages, or restore relationships, you'll have an affordable, flexible plan right at your fingertips. Try it for 1 month with offer code LEADERSHIP, all one word, not case sensitive, at checkout. That's offer code LEADERSHIP, all one word, at checkout on woomarriage.com/free trial.
Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Group Answers Podcast Show. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Surratt, as always.
What's up?
Hey, a lot is up. There's always a lot. Just got back from Nepal, as you know. That's the first trip there for me, and that was eventful.
Yeah, have you caught up on your sleep yet? Because the last time we talked to you were...
I don't know that's going to happen.
Kind of sleepwalking through the episode.
Sleepwalking through the episode. That's not new for me, though, Chris.
Yeah, that's true. I'm excited about when does the resource for that come out?
October.
With David Platt?
October. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's going to be awesome.
All right, here's a question for you. In the spirit of today's guest and that conversation, I wanted to ask you about, like, favorite book of the Bible. Is that an appropriate question? And if it is, how do you answer that if someone asks you that?
Wow. Well, I do have a personal favorite, but a lot of times it depends on if they're like a new believer and they're wanting to know, where do I start reading? That's a different answer.
Yeah.
So, you know, usually I'll say Mark, because I like Mark. It's a short book, and it kind of covers the narrative, and it's easy to kind of get into. But if personal favorite, I would say, is James.
Ah, James, yes, the Proverbs of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark's a good choice. I think I'd go with one of the epistles, Philippians, maybe Colossians. But doesn't it depend on the season of life a little bit as well? Does it change for you? Or kind of, has it always been James, or has it been James for a long time?
Well, I mean, for a long time, Numbers is kind of where I would go with my morning reading if I'm
sure.
To pick me up.
I'm sure it was.
But yeah, no, like I would say for the last, you know, several years, I just love that, you know, it's the brother of Jesus and the authority that he had in the early church and just how practical. And I love the voicing of it. So yeah, that is a good segue to.
I can say it, but I can't spell it.
We are so excited and honored to have Bobby Grunewald. I've known Bobby for a long time, way back when I was at Seacoast Church, and Bobby was at Life Church, which he is still at Life Church. But let me give you a little bit of a bio. If you don't already know who Bobby is, I don't know where you've been. But Bobby serves as pastor, innovation leader at Life Church, and is the founder of the YouVersion Bible app.
Get out of here.
Which is that segue. Which is why we're so excited to have Bobby to talk to him about that. But he is one of the leading voices in the church on innovation and the use of technology. He's been featured in the New York Times, TechCrunch, CNN, and more prior to joining the Life Church team in 2001. He started and sold two technology companies, as well as served as in advisory capacities for several startups and venture capital funds. Bobby and his wife, Melissa, live in Edmond, Oklahoma with their four kids, which is where you are right now, right, Bobby?
That's right. It's good to be with you, Chris and Brian, but I'm right here in Edmond, Oklahoma today.
My family is actually kind of originally from Oklahoma. My mom was born in Enid, Oklahoma, kind of grew up in the Enid area, which I was reading today is not doing well, but I don't know that it ever has, really.
Well, Enid's definitely a part of Oklahoma. So I grew up in Illinois, but my wife and I, we've been here for 25 years. So we're definitely from Oklahoma now.
Is that Oklahoma City? I mean, is Edmond around Oklahoma City?
Yeah, Edmond's a suburb of Oklahoma City.
That is such a nice area, I think.
What part of Illinois did you grow up in?
I grew up in central Illinois, a town called Decatur, Illinois, which is the soybean capital of the world.
And that's not on your resume.
No, that's not on my resume. That would actually, that probably improve my resume quite a bit if I could put that on. That's a good note. I'll make sure to put that on there in the future.
That's funny. Speaking of YouVersion, I was just thinking about this morning. You guys actually, I think it was either you or Terry Storch, sent me the beta of the mobile version of YouVersion years ago. And I still have the email. And basically it was, go to this website, but don't tell anybody that this is coming. And I remember checking out the beta. It was m.uversion.com, I think, at the time. And just going, this is going to change. This is going to change a lot of things. Who knew?
When was that?
When was that, Bobby?
Well, I'm trying to think. For that, m.uversion.com was probably, that was probably 2000 and early 2008, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
It seems longer.
It does. It seems like it's been around since, like, you know, the beginning
but
of
if you forget
smartphones.
It, the iPhone only came out around that time,
right? Yeah.
Which is just crazy, a crazy thought for me personally. Just that it feels like the iPhone has been, it's so ubiquitous, it's been around since I can remember anymore.
Yeah. So, Bobby, I'd like to start with something that you didn't have in your bio, the fact that you were a rapper, a Christian rapper. Which I've seen examples of on the internet. So you must not be that embarrassed of it, right?
No, it's not embarrassing. But it is. I did have the blessing of not being a Christian rapper when YouTube existed. So that was kind of the blessings. There's not like a lot of videos of me rapping, just ones of me rapping recently because people want me to prove to them that I was a Christian rapper. But no, I actually. I became a follower of Jesus between my 8th and 9th grade year at a camp. And the very first thing that I wanted to do was figure out how to reach my friends who didn't know Jesus. And all of my friends listened to rap music. So I just thought, maybe I should write a rap song. I kind of felt like God was leading me to do this, and I had never rapped before. So I just wrote a rap song, and turned out that people liked it, and then I went on and ended up becoming a Christian rapper for 5 years. And we traveled all over the country, did rap music, and invited people to know Jesus at every one of our shows. And it was kind of it became a ministry, really, just right all through my high school years. But that's where it started. It actually started with me trying to figure out how to reach my friends.
Wow.
Okay, so YouVersion is quite the phenomenon. It has been available 11 years, it sounds like. Well, at least the beta was 2008. I don't know when the app actually launched. I guess it'd be less than 11 years. And the users are up in the – it is a really big number. I don't know if it's millions or billions. that I cannot imagine. I just can't fathom what that must be like. So I would be interested, and I think our listeners would as well. We have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about the story of YouVersion. What was the impetus behind this, and how did it come to be?
Sure. Well, the story actually begins in 2006. It was October of 2006 when I was in a long TSA security line at the O'Hare Airport in Chicago. And it was one of those lines that was just forever long, you know, like one of the longest ones you've ever seen. And that particular day in the security line, I was really thinking, I wonder if there's a way we could use technology to help me engage in the Bible more effectively. I was embarrassingly a below average Bible reader, even though I was on staff at the church at that time. I just had always had sort of good intentions. There are moments in life where I was very engaged in scripture, but I wasn't very consistent with my engagement. And so I just thought, I wonder if technology could help me. And I knew there were a lot of people like me. And so I thought, you know, perhaps if it could help me, it could help a lot of others. And so there in the security line that day, October 26th of 2006, I had this idea for YouVersion, which was originally a website, not an app, because back in 2006 there wasn't an app store, there wasn't an iPhone, there weren't the types of things that we see available today. And so the original idea was actually for a website, which launched in 2007. And I kind of just made that like it was one sentence, like it was that easy. We just had the idea and launched the website. Obviously, there was a lot of challenge and things that went into that. We had no idea what we were getting into, no idea what was going to be required from even getting rights to the Bible text and several other things that went along the way. But we launched the website and it technically worked in September of 2007, but it didn't work in terms of actually engaging us consistently with the Bible. We used the website only because we created it. We had a lot of people that went and visited it at the very beginning because we had a lot of friends and churches that promoted the website initially, but people weren't returning and going back to the website. And so by December, just a few months in, realized that it had failed. And so we like to learn from our failures and don't want to keep perpetuating it if it's not working. We want to obviously invest our time and resources into something that does work. So that process of evaluating the failure, which we were doing in late 2007, early 2008, I think December, January timeframe, we were processing why it failed and concluded at least one of the factors we felt like was that it was only available on our computers, and our computers were at that time only really in one or two locations. You know, everyone didn't have laptops with them all the time or tablets or the things we have today, but we did have our Blackberries with us everywhere we went, and we were using our Blackberries all the time and our computers much less. And we thought maybe if we just redesigned the website so that it was available on a mobile device, on a BlackBerry, like really simple, really basic. A BlackBerry screen back then, if anybody can remember, was just a few lines of text. I mean, it was really, really simple. And surprisingly, it really worked. I mean, we began to find that we were connecting with Scripture more consistently in places that we had not done that before. We saw traffic to the website going up from people using their Blackberries, and they were coming back to it. And so we could tell pretty quickly that God was doing something, and honestly, something unexpected. I mean, we really didn't know that it would be successful. We just wanted to try it because we felt like it was one of the factors of why it failed. And then Steve Jobs announced in early 2008 that they were going to make it possible to develop apps for the iPhone. And they're going to create something called an app store. You know, and you were just talking about how today we can't even really remember how, you know, what it was like to not have smartphones and not have an app store. But in 2008, this whole concept of an app store was a new idea. And so we thought, with what we see God doing, what if we built, you know, what if we built an app, a Bible app, and tried to submit it to Apple and see if it could make it into this app store? So found a 19-year-old on our team that loved Apple. And that was about the only requirement you had to have back then to build an app was to be 19 and love Apple, because there were no books or classes or courses or anybody that had any experience. And we submitted an app to Apple in June of 2008. And to our surprise again, when the App Store launched in July of 2008, the day that the App Store launched, the Bible app was among the first 200 free apps that were available that day.
Wow.
And it was a Thursday night when it was available. And by Sunday morning, we had seen 83,000 people install the app on their iPhones. And to us, that just blew our minds. We had absolutely no idea. I mean, just no idea that we would see that kind of response. And we honestly had no idea we'd get approved, quite frankly. I mean, we just didn't know how many apps there would be. I mean, we didn't know if there was going to be thousands of apps or tens of thousands. We had just no idea. But we were really, really blessed with the fact that there were so few apps when it started and so many eyeballs looking for apps, you know, on that day, that we just like, this is a huge opportunity, because there's so many people that probably downloaded our Bible app just because it was there and not even because they were looking for a Bible. And we just thought, what a great opportunity. So it's been a sprint for the last, you know, 10 and a half plus years of us racing as fast as we can to kind of keep up with what God's doing. And there's been a huge coalition of partners that have come together, Bible societies. I mean, it's very, very global. Over 1,000 volunteers work on YouVersion today. And the 83,000 people have grown to just about 380 million devices today that have installed the Bible app, growing still today by about 5 million new devices per month. and just a ton of exciting stories of how, you know, numerically speaking, you know, we see trend lines that to us indicate that people are actually really excited about reading scripture, that the trend lines are improving and not going the other direction. So anyway, it's been an amazing thing to be a part of, but we also really have the faith and believe that it's just the very beginning of what God wants to do.
That's amazing. And the fact that all these years later, it's still the default Bible app. I mean, when you talk to people and you ask, how do they read their Bible on the phone? I mean, almost every person I talk to pulls up YouVersion, pulls up the Bible app to stay that consistent. And I was just thinking about, I remember the detail that you guys were into at the time when it first launched. I remember my daughter, I think at the time she was around 12, somewhere in that range, and she signed up for an account. And I think you mentioned to my brother, I saw another Surratt sign up for a YouVersion account. And it was my daughter. And I was like, wow, they're really paying attention to what's going on here with YouVersion. And she's now, just a testament, she's read through the Bible four times when she was 12.
Wow.
All on YouVersion. And honestly, I don't know that she would have, I mean, she's very disciplined, but I don't know that she would have done that if it wasn't available on her phone. Every night she has a reminder, 8 o'clock, she goes and she reads her Bible. And, you know, that's just something that she's done. And I see so many people doing that. I want to ask you talked at the beginning, Bobby, about your not being consistent with your Bible engagement. And we've done research at Lifeway that shows that if people will engage, you know, especially daily with their Bible, they're more likely to engage other spiritual disciplines, that it starts mm-hmm. with the Bible. So why do you think people struggle so much with Bible engagement? Is it kind of where you were, that it's hard to, you know, find a Bible, open it up, or what do you think that is?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different reasons, and it probably varies, varies by the person a little bit. But I mean, for many people, especially people that aren't very familiar or have a good understanding of the meta narrative of Scripture, kind of the overall story, I think the Bible's a bit intimidating, you know, to them, because it's seen as a fairly big book, and trying to kind of understand it, figure out where to begin. Even, you know, many people that start in Genesis, you know, it's pretty interesting, and then as they kind of get a little bit into it, they usually fall off because it gets a little bit confusing, you know, for them, for people that aren't familiar with it. So I think that's one factor for consistency, is just the fact that it's a bit intimidating for people when they knew that. I think the other is, I do think that the format in today's culture for some people is a bit problematic, the format of a book. Not for everyone. There are many people that are very consistent in their scripture engagement in a book format. But if it's a book that maybe sits by their bed, people going to bed at the exact same time every night, the rhythms and patterns of life look, I think, a little different for many people today culturally. The mobility of people in terms of their travel and where work takes them and how their job schedules, you know, they're all excuses, obviously, that with the right amount of discipline, someone could kind of overcome. However, I think just in the natural course of how people, you know, engage with things, the concept of carrying a physical book with you everywhere is just culturally not something that's that consistent, you know, with culture today. And so I think that's one, the format for some people is the issue. That was kind of what it was for me, quite frankly, is just the accessibility, the availability, you know, having kind of not a Bible, just being located in one place, but having it with me all the time, really did make a difference. And, I think people are going to have different reasons. There are some people that reading just in general, because of, again, how education's changed, how learning has changed a little bit. For some people, reading is not a habit that they do of any sort. You know, they don't do a lot of reading today. So they watch a lot of content. They listen to a lot of content. So audio Bibles, I've talked to some people that have told me that they made it through the entire Bible for the first time in their life after decades of trying, but the way that they did it was by listening, by using the audio Bible function. And prior to apps and some of the technology you have today, even if you wanted to do an audio Bible, it was like a big portfolio of CDs, you know, that you had to, you know, to use and manage. And so it just was cumbersome, you know, and somewhat expensive, quite frankly. And so I think you know, there's just there's some of those things about technology that just give some new opportunities for people to experience scripture in different formats that I think are actually been really helpful for people to for consistency in their engagement.
Just curious, Bobby. I'm from, I guess, what you'd call the paper generation, and I'm not alone. There's a lot of people that are from that generation, and a lot of those have come before me. So the transition of moving from like a Bible that you hold, like is bound in pages in a book, and growing up hearing pastors say things like, you know, I just love the sound of pages turning, you know, on Sunday morning. Have you, as the creator behind YouVersion, I mean, are you getting, how do you respond to people that maybe say, what in the world are you guys doing? Or have you even gotten that?
You know, I think early on we had definitely some people that were not too excited about the concept of you know, the Bible being on a digital device, and just felt like there was something sacred or important about the format being in a bound book. Right. And it's for some people specifically a leather bound book, you know, very specific, you know, translations and all of that. We get a lot less of it today, but I would just respond in a couple ways. One is we're about Bible engagement. We're definitely not about digital Bible engagement being the only format. Many of our community actually use a print Bible and a digital Bible. They use them in different environments and different contexts, you know, and they still prefer the printed page when they experience scripture in certain you know, contexts. But there are some who are digital only, and their first Bible that they ever have had or ever read was on their digital device that they downloaded our app, you know, from the App Store. So there's definitely a generation of people, my kids being some of them, that the concept of the Bible being only a physical bound book in terms of just how they see it or how they understand it is definitely changing, I think, for some. But our goal is not to try to transition the entire world to a digital Bible format. Our goal is to try to get people engaged in scripture. One thing I would just remind people, though, that really attach a lot of significance to the bound book is just that the Bible didn't start as a bound book. Mm. So I think sometimes because we're familiar with it, because it's been around maybe our entire lifetimes in that format and even several generations before, in many ways, listening to the audio Bible, listening to the Bible on your smartphone read the Bible to you is actually more true to the original format for much of Scripture than reading it in a bound book. And I think that that's just a perspective I think that's good for people to have, because some people get really upset about the fact that someone else is, it may not be their thing, and that's completely understandable, and I want people to experience Scripture whichever way is going to be helpful for them. But to be really critical of how someone else might experience Scripture or what might be working for them, I think it's just good to at least carry that perspective of realizing that the Bible's changed actual formats many times, several times over the last, you know, few thousand years.
That's a good way to answer that question, because it's an opportunity to give a little biblical history along with the answer.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people think of the original Bible as leather bound and in the King James version.
King James, of course,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's always a fun conversation. We do get that from time to time of people. We obviously have the King James Bible, actually several versions of the King James Bible, which is confusing to some people because they think that there literally is only one King James Bible, period, and it happens to be the one that's sold at the store right now, and they don't realize that even the original, the very first King James translation was even different than the one that they're reading, you know, today, and that's a bit of a challenge, but either way, we're definitely... We're not trying to push a particular format or a particular translation with YouVersion. We're really just trying to make Scripture available, and particularly outside of English and other people's heart languages. And I think that's something that's important. We take it for granted that we have the Bible in English because it's always been in English for us in our lifetimes. But there's still many people today that still cannot read Scripture in their own heart language. And that's something we're also really passionate about making available for people.
That's good. One of the features I love about YouVersion is being able to switch between the translations easily. Like, I read the CSB for my personal reading, but when I go to church, you know, he'll use different scriptures, and I'll just bounce over real quickly and see which translation he's in. Another aspect that I love about YouVersion is the fact that there's the opportunity for community now that's built into the app. And, you know, our audience is, you know, small group leaders and people that are in small groups. And so what I want to ask you, Bobby, is how can they take advantage of using the community part of YouVersion to encourage and challenge each other when it comes to their small group and their community?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different ways, and we've sort of designed the Bible app to work in a lot of different contexts. So one is a person can use it individually and not use any community features. So it's nothing that's forced upon people. If they just want to use and have their own Bible experience and not have friends within the app, that's possible. However, one of the first things that people can do is they can, if they want to, invite people that they know and trust that are like real relationships that they have to be a friend inside of the Bible app. It's a mutually agreed upon relationship, meaning that someone has to acknowledge that they are your friend. It's not like a Twitter where you just follow people, but it's actually more like Facebook where you have to agree, you know, that we want to have this relationship. And when you do that, your Bible engagement or certain parts of your Bible engagement, when you highlight a passage or when you bookmark something or when you start a daily reading plan or when you complete a daily reading plan, those types of things are put into a feed that your friends can see and they can comment on and they can like, which creates opportunity for a conversation around scripture. And you can see, of course, your friends as well. But it creates a conversation with people that you know and trust around scripture. It's difficult in today to have sometimes have meaningful conversations around scripture in some of the more public social media environments, partly because people have not had intentionality with who their friends are on some of those platforms. And then also because some of those platforms are just very polarized in terms of the conversation and discussion. And so we wanted to create kind of a safe place for that conversation to take place. We definitely encourage people to share scripture and they share verse images and verses many, many times every day into other social media platforms. So we're not trying to isolate people in that regard, but we are trying to create an opportunity for you to experience scripture and do it in the context of community. So other things about that are helpful is when a friend might start a new reading plan or complete one, if you have it turned on or set up this way, you would get a push notification that alerts you to that. So it creates all of these new on-ramps every day for you to get pulled back into the Bible, which it obviously helps with your own scripture engagement. Just there, it's almost like having, you know, 10 or 12 reminders a day, like, oh, there's an opportunity for me to go and take a look at that passage that they highlighted, which then of course pulls you back into the Bible, which where maybe you had been busy or in a meeting or doing something else and would have forgotten about it. The other feature that's more recent is really cool for small groups specifically, in that it's a feature we call Plans with Friends. One of the most popular features of the Bible app are our daily reading plans, our daily devotionals. We really emphasize daily engagement in scripture. And so we create all sorts of either read through the entire Bible in a year or in 90 days type of a plan, or a daily devotional that are topical, maybe 7 days long or 10 days long, that give you a devotional thought plus scripture each day. And we have millions and millions of those plans that get completed every month and that people are starting and completing. Well, the Plans with Friends feature takes that same concept, but then allows you to invite other people to go through that same study or that same reading plan together as a group of friends. So meaning it's synced up at the same time. So if we all agree we're going to do this Bible plan and it's going to go for 30 days, maybe it's a marriage, you know, Bible plan, a 30-day marriage Bible plan, I'm going to invite you and others that I want to do it with me. We'll start on the same day. It'll all be synced up. So we're reading the same material each day. And at the end of each day, there's an opportunity for a conversation to take place in the app where people can make comments and ask questions and basically have a private conversation with just that group of friends. So a small group could easily say, we're going to go through and do this together. And maybe our small group meets once a week. But every day through the week, we'll be able to have this ongoing conversation about what we're reading in Scripture. And then when we get together physically, you know, once a week, then we're just continuing that conversation. It doesn't have to kind of just be something that happens when we're together, but it can be an ongoing dialogue using technology. And so that's become a real popular feature as far as the community feature is concerned. We've had 23 million plans that have been started as a Plans with Friends plan, where people invited their friends to it, and this year we'll definitely exceed what we did last year. So it's actually growing at a pretty rapid pace as well. So it's definitely it's a newer thing. Not everybody's aware of it, but anytime you go to start a plan, it asks you if you want to do it with friends. It also asks you if you want to make your activity of that plan visible to friends for basically accountability purposes. And so those two questions are asked anytime you start a Bible plan inside of YouVersion. And that's basically how you would start that process.
I'm so glad you brought up that feature, because I wasn't aware of it until actually a couple weeks ago. We had some friends over, and they're part of another small group. And we were talking about what you're doing in your small group. And their small group is actually using Plans with Friends to read through the Bible. And so he pulled up on his app, on his YouVersion app, and showed me kind of where they're at and how it's working and how they're being challenged by the other group members. And so I love that feature, that groups can take advantage of that and read the Bible together. Because some, you know, one of the hardest parts about getting through the Bible is kind of drifting off. You know, you'll get into the middle of the Old Testament or Numbers or something, but if you have somebody that's saying, you know, it's pushing you, challenging you, you're much more likely to make it happen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So I have the YouVersion app on my phone, like probably everyone else in the world that has an iPhone, and I do use it, but I don't just listen to Bobby talk. I don't use it to its fullest extent. There's a lot to take advantage of in the app. And I was going to ask you, Chris, because you've got a younger group than me, you know, how much you guys have employed some of this, but it sounds like you will begin.
We will. Yeah. And we've talked about that. I mean, that having that conversation with my friend opened my eyes to what we could do with YouVersion. There's just so many things. And you brought up reading plans. I think those are amazing. Just a quick story. I was in Canada a few months ago at a conference, standing in a booth, and had a lady come up, and she was from South Africa. And she said, you know, we sell Bible studies. And she goes, can you help me read the Bible? And I said, okay, well, talk to me a little bit. What do you mean by that? And she said, well, I have a hard time getting into the Bible. I start a lot of times and I just don't understand it, or I lose interest. And I've never been able, she said, I'm a believer, but I've never been able to just read the Bible. And I said, well, you have a phone. And she goes, yeah. So she pulled out her phone. I said, do you have YouVersion, the Bible app? And she goes, no. And so we downloaded it, and I said, okay, let me show you some reading plans. So I pulled up three or four of my favorite reading plans and just pulled them up and said, here's how you do it. And you should have seen her. She was just like amazed that, and she's like, well, this will help me read the Bible. And I thought, that's boom. You know, if it takes a reading plan for somebody to engage with the Bible, that's beautiful.
That's a great story. And we've started loading up or uploading a lot of our resources. In fact, all of our new resources are made into reading plans and loaded to YouVersion. I don't know if everyone knew that.
We're very, very grateful for that. Thank you guys so much for doing that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. One last question for you, Bobby, and you don't have to go into detail on this, but you know, you obviously saw YouVersion before anybody, you know, even thought about that or dreamed about it. So as you look at the future, what is next? What's next for technology in the church?
You know, I get asked that question a lot. And what I try to do is, because there's so much that's changing with technology, I try not to focus on real specific technologies, but rather really try to encourage church leaders to be better positioned and to be asking the right questions. And because I think a lot of times we can look at new technologies as this thing that can feel a bit intimidating, or the pace at which it's changing can be a bit frustrating for people. But I really want us to see this as a huge opportunity that we have, where there are these tools that are available to us. And we just see technology as a tool. There's a lot of different tools. It just happens to be a tool that we think can be used for the gospel, that could really be in many ways, in some cases, redeemed, you know, to be used for the gospel. But it's going to take churches and church leaders, you know, finding the people in their church, if it's not them, themselves, but asking those questions when they hear about For example, all the voice assistants that are out there, you know, the fact that you can engage with Alexa or Google Home or any of these things that you start to see appearing in stores. It's like, how can that be used in a way that could help our church, or how could that be used in a way that could help extend the gospel? And asking, simply asking the question, as opposed to not even wanting to look at it, I think would really go a long ways in positioning people. When YouVersion started, it was because we're just asking a question. It wasn't that we had everything figured out. In fact, the original idea failed. But it was through the process of asking a question and trying something that God kind of revealed what ultimately became an idea that went on to help millions of people. And I tell people a lot of times, I didn't have any advanced knowledge of the app store being created or this notion of there being apps, you know, available for the iPhone. I mean, Steve Jobs didn't call me early and let me know about that before he let everybody else know. The only thing that was different was that we were just positioned in with the right posture at the time that announcement was made to say, this is something that we should try to do something with, you know, we should try to build it. And again, I don't write code. I didn't build the Bible app as far as like write the lines of code to do it. I don't know how to write. I've never written a line of code in the Bible app. But I just had the vision of, could we use this? And I went and tried to find the people that could do it. And I think a lot of pastors and church leaders think, well, I don't know how to write code. I'm not a technology person, or I'm not this. And it's really just about vision and leadership and finding those people and the resources that can, but asking the right questions, looking, you know, trying to understand the right opportunities. But all we did was react. We weren't necessarily in front of anything. We were just responding quickly to what we saw happening. And so anyway, I try not to get people too focused on a specific technology, because it changes, and people can spend the next 5 years working on trying to create something that they think is going to be the next big thing. But I would much rather be more in a ready position, ready to respond. I'm working on more preparation than on planning. And I think that'll better serve the church going forward.
So you don't have Craig in hologram form yet?
No, I don't. Although I did have somebody call me the other day and want to talk to me about some technology they're working on. They thought it'd be a great idea that is more of a hologram kind of thing. But I'm not sure exactly how that works. But they're excited to want to show it to me sometime.
Well, that was going to be the future of multi-site like 10 years ago. At some point, we'd have holograms. But
I do think that's actually a good point. You know, because a lot of times people presume that just because a technology can happen, that it's the right thing to do. But a lot of times it's not, you know, there's a certain level of restraint that's also involved, because sometimes the most effective thing to do is to write it on a piece of paper, you know, or to have a phone call or, you know, a conversation on the phone and not to go through some crazy new method of doing it. Sometimes that is the most effective. So you always have to kind of step back sometimes and just make sure you're having that effectiveness conversation, not in resistance to technology, but just in a practical sense to make sure that it actually does serve the mission of the church more better than the alternative.
That's good.
Bobby, thank you so much for being with us today. I know that you've got a lot going on there in Oklahoma City with YouVersion and with your responsibilities with the church. And I'd like to thank everyone that was tuning in for this show. We would ask kindly, and just short of begging, that you go to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show and give us a rating and a review. Those things matter, and we do pay attention to those things. And in terms of if you would like to follow Bobby on Twitter, that is BobbyGWald. And also the same would be on Instagram. So it looks like a really interesting follow there.
I think Bobby was my first Twitter follow. I think he's like Tom from MySpace. If I look through a lot of people that have been around for a while, Bobby's like the first name on their follows.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's I'm grateful.
Yeah. We also want to mention there's another show on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network, which we're a part of, called The One Thing. And it's with Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna. And it's a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. They've recently covered topics like removing roadblocks, how to evangelize someone who is not interested in coming to your church, and how to start a second service. Just look up The One Thing on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.
That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Group Answers podcast. Thanks for being with us. For Chris, this is Brian Daniel and Bobby Grunewald. We look forward to being with you again soon.